is Scout vs. Scout, a FantasyHockeyScouts.com podcast. Now here are the guys themselves, Jay and Cam.
Hey Cam, what's up?
Not too much, Jay. How you doing?
I'm good. So, Christmas podcast, what do you think?
Let's do it.
Alright. So, the first thing that we're going to talk about is some gifts for our readers for the second half of the season. We've each got three guys that we think is going to have a good second half and someone you might want to add for the long term for your team. Who's your first pick?
Well, this is a this isn't just a second half gift. This was a gift that I gave to everybody for the entire season, and that was Logan Couture. I think you may know who he is.
Yeah, you sound a little bit arrogant though there, eh?
Well, you know, we've been talking him up quite a bit, and he's been doing pretty well for us. So, yeah, we had him in the breakout Bible for about between 45 and 50 points, and that was well above what anybody else was predicting. So I just wanted to point that out, that we were ahead of the curve there. And he's currently on pace for about 40 goals and almost 60 points right now. So exceeding our expectations, and got to say he's one of my favorite players right now, so I'm loving it. So hopefully everybody clued in from the beginning and has picked him up and is enjoying the ride. So.
Do you think he's going to keep up his recent pace?
I don't think so.
No. not that confident in him.
No, I'm not confident that he's going to keep it up, but so far so good. And, yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about our prediction for about just under 50 points for him for the season, which is, you know, a pretty big surprise. So.
Yeah, fair enough. I think he'll probably top 50 myself, but, yeah, definitely around there somewhere.
And the shots, too, right? He's on pace for almost 300 shots.
You got to love the shots.
Yeah, it's great.
All right, my next guy, I kind of went a little bit different. I'm trying to pick a guy that's maybe a little bit more under the radar, although his recent trade probably makes that not the case, is Thomas Fleischmann. Now with the Avalanche, he's got great line mates now. He's had 4 points in 6 games with the Avs. I think he's going to have a real big second half, you know, maybe playing at a 50 to 60 point pace with the Avalanche. And Duchesne on his line, loving it.
Yeah, I don't like the shots there, though.
Yeah, of course, yeah. So if you're in a shots league, you might want to kind of hold off on Flash a little bit. But I think he's got tons of points potential. So.
What about Pims?
Well, yeah, like he's not going to get those either, but, you know. There's only so many guys in the league that are going to get you shots and Pims and points.
I know. I guess it's just if you're, you know, if you're going to take him, you got to make sure you're covered in other areas. So.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Like by getting Couture.
Yeah, well, you know, there's only one Logan Couture, and you you got to talk first, so you got to talk with him. All right, who's next on your list?
Next one is a controversial selection. It's a guy that I thought would do pretty well all season, but he hasn't done very well, but I like the chances for the second half. So that's Marty Turco from Chicago. Yeah, we kind of thought he'd rack up quite a few wins this year, probably between 35 and 40 is what we expect and what a lot of people expected. So, he hasn't done it so far. Only 8 wins so far. The goals against is almost 3. Save percentage is barely over 900. So, yeah, it's been pretty weak so far. But this guy consistently bang on like every year, picks it up in the second half. So I'm expecting that to possibly happen again. So.
What about last year? Did he pick it up in the second half last year?
Last year was an exception to the rule.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe that's a current trend because he's so old.
But pretty much every year before that, he picks it up in the second half. So, you know, I don't know. I wouldn't sell your whole team to get this guy. But if you get a chance to pick him up on the wire as, you know, a flyer pick, I think I'd take that chance.
Yeah, I'd be very worried about Turco. Like I said, he's getting old. Last year with Dallas, he wasn't looking good at all. Hasn't looked good this year. So that's a year and a half now where he hasn't really been a very good, effective goalie. If you're owning Turco, I think you'd better definitely get Crawford. So it's a bit of a gamble there, Cam, but I got a gamble coming up my own, so I won't say anything too mean.
All right, let's hear it.
All right, I'm going to stick with a goalie gamble as well, and I'm going to go with Jonathan Bernier. I know he's been pretty brutal this year. But I had huge, huge hopes for him coming in this year. He's one of my biggest breakup picks that I had going on here. He's well over 3 GAA at 330, well under 900, save percentage at 8.99. But I think the kid's got nowhere to go but up. And I know Quick struggled at the end of last year. You know, a bit of a long shot that's going to happen again. He's looking pretty good. But I think Bernier is going to be there eventually. And if it's not going to be the second half of this year, it's going to be sometime next year. But I'm on board. Those numbers are going up. A lot of owners are frustrated by him right now. You know, get him on a song, particularly in a keeper league. I definitely recommend that.
Yeah, I'm not as sold on it. I mean, I like the guy long term, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, you're betting on quick faltering, which you did last year, but I don't know. You gotta have a lot that's gonna like work out in his favor for him to be in the net and be successful. So
yeah, it's fair enough. It is a long shot. I'll admit that.
Yeah.
All right. Who's next?
I just got a quick one I'm going to throw in before I go to my real one.
Oh, okay, right. Okay. Sure, yeah, no problem.
Nashville's goalies. Pekka Rinne, after February 1st, over the past two seasons, his record is 32-13-7, so I like him down the stretch. And since he's injured right now, you got to get Anders Lindback, who has been very solid so far this year. So
yeah.
only one loss, and he's only been roughed up in one game so far. Only one game he's given up more than three goals, so... That's pretty solid for a rookie. So,
since I have them in my main league, I'm well on board with that one. Duty call, Cam. Good job.
Thank you. But my real third one is Jason Pominville from the Sabres. This guy's been struggling pretty badly this year. He's on pace for only 13 goals and 30 points right now. He's a minus 8 so far. But this guy's been pretty consistent. I mean, he had the concussion at the beginning of this year, but he rarely ever misses a game. He hasn't missed a game over the past four seasons or so. And over the last four seasons, he's averaged 69 points a year. So I don't think he's going to end up at 30. I'd see, you know, a lot higher. I don't know if he'll get back up to that 69 level, but something a lot higher than what he's on target for right now. So I think he can buy low on that guy big time.
Yeah, great call. I agree completely. I think 60-point pace is a good projection for him, and I'm definitely on board for sure. All right, I got one last one. Sam Gagner on the Oilers. His production so far this year is okay. He's on pace for 50 points, which would be his first season over 50 points to keep it up. You know, of course, nothing like what he did in the OHL with London, but I think this kid could maybe put it all together. He's been playing with Eberle and Hall on the top line in Edmonton lately. If that line starts clicking a little bit better, those young guys start to gel, grow a little bit, gain a bit of confidence, I think he could really pick up that pace. I don't think he's going to be probably getting over 60 points this year, but I think he could definitely finish in the high 50s if things fall his way.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of upside there. I mean, yeah, even if he's only going to get you 50 or whatever, but I mean, there's that potential there that he could explode. So, I mean, he had that huge second half like about 2 years ago when him and Cogliano were really clicking. So, you know, he's done it down the stretch before, and so like that's encouraging to see. So,
cool.
Yeah, I think it's a solid choice.
All right, Cam, so now we're done with the gifts. Of course, we're not the most positive of people. We've got to talk about a few of the guys who really disappointed us or got on our bad side. So we've got a few lumps of coal here to talk about.
Beautiful.
Who you got first for us?
First, can I do a bonus one?
You love your bonus ones. Go for it.
Lump of coal to Pierre Maguire this holiday season for having to listen to his inane ramblings during the World Juniors this Christmas.
Yes, that's true. Good one.
Oh, my God. I can't stand that guy. So my first real one was probably a lump of coal to TJ Oshie's ankle for breaking and really, you know, making me cry for the last 2 months. So, been pretty disappointed. Oshie was off to a great start and really looked like he was going to be the breakout player that we predicted this year in the Bible. But, yeah, he's out for about 3 months probably. So, that's kind of kiboshed that idea.
Yeah, I had him in every one of my leagues except for one. So, I got him stashed in my IR in every league, even though he's probably, probably a little bit below what I could get in some of those leagues. But I've had to hang on to him just for sentimental reasons.
Yeah, exactly. Very disappointing.
All right, well, I'm going to kind of go the other way and talk about some players that have probably crushed fantasy teams this year. There's four players out there that might have gotten taken in the first round in some leagues and have really failed to live up to expectations. So there's Kovalchuk, Parise, Mike Green, and Drew Doughty. I'm an owner of Parise in one of my leagues, and it's just been him in particular, since he's only played a handful of games, has just, you know, made my fantasy team really struggle this year. And it's the same thing with owners of those other guys. So they're making a few people cry into their drinks this holiday season, I believe.
Yeah, I got hurt on Doughty for sure. So, and Kovalchuk, too.
It happens.
Yes.
All right, who's next on your list?
Is it my turn?
It's your turn, yeah. I just keep nice. Four, man. I think it's your turn.
I got a lump of coal for you, Jay.
And for me. Thanks, man.
It's going into your stocking for your insistence on saying that Chris Mason was going to be the number one goalie in Atlanta over Andrei Pavlich this year.
Yeah, I kind of regret that one now a little bit. I was so convinced about it, and I'll get to Pavlich when we get to start talking about surprises in a little bit, but I just...
I got a quote for you, man.
Okay. Oh,
this is coming right out of our fantasy scouting report this year. And you wrote this, by the way.
I did, yeah.
We've seen some sites / mags list Pavlich as the number one in Atlanta. We have no idea why. He's posted an ugly 333 GAA, a 901 save percentage, and 61 career NHL games. So even if Pavlich starts the year on the number one role, and in brackets, unlikely, he won't be there too long.
Yeah, I was pretty – I really can't. I just couldn't see how Atlanta not being the best defensive team in the past, Pavlik not showing any real promise, was just going to all of a sudden be able to turn around. One of the things I really didn't like was seeing Hedberg actually kind of succeed last year in Atlanta and Pavlik completely fall apart. That really made me lose a lot of faith in him.
Sure.
Yeah, I know he's a big prospect coming up, but I just thought he's going to take a couple years to get going, if ever. But yeah, I was proven well wrong, so I'll eat my... my humble pie right now. Take it on the chin. Let's move on.
Yep.
All right. My next lump is a guy I was so hoping for big things. I picked in our big league, I picked him probably a little bit ahead of time because I just had to have him this year. I thought he's going to be a 55-point D-man this year, going to be one of those big breakout years, and I was going to get on board early. But Eric Johnson of the Blues has just really let me down. He's only on pace for 28 points, which is actually okay. He's actually hit a little bit of a hot streak recently, but nowhere near what I was expecting.
Yeah, I've been disappointed with Johnson too, but yeah, there's some encouraging signs there. He's been picking up a little bit lately, and yeah, if he gets up to that 30-point level, and you know, yeah, it's not quite what you wanted, but it's respectable, and he's, you know, still giving you a decent number of shots and a few penalty minutes. So
yeah,
I think St. Louis will get better in the second half.
If I use a fifth-round pick or whatever I use to get a 30-point D-man, I'm going to be pretty pissed.
Well, there you go. That would be good.
All right. You're up.
One quick one, Ryan Miller. I won't say always, but typically not that great in the second half. His numbers typically go down, so just be careful there. Really, I'm giving coal to Nikita Filatov. Brutal season so far. You know, he really had high hopes. This guy was going to come in and under a new coach in Columbus and really light it up this year, but only 7 assists, no goals through 23 games, and now he's been sent to the minors. So, yeah, pretty disappointed there. Owned him in a couple leagues and, you know, had him for a couple years and been expecting big things. He was actually our number one prospect in our prospect database this year. So we're really... really banking on the potential, but it just hasn't come through for us this year.
Yeah, all signs are really pointing to a breakout this year for Filatov, but like you said, it just didn't happen, and I'm kind of a little bit, I guess, blown away that he has been so bad as well. Like, I could kind of understand him struggling a little bit, but, you know, he's just been nowhere near what I was expecting, so.
Are you giving up on him?
Well, I don't know. It's a tough call, but you know, I'm getting really close. You know, I think probably if he doesn't get called up in the next month or two, then I'm cutting bait and moving on in a lot of my leagues. Unless I get deeper leagues, that's, you know, there's really no option.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to do with him now. So, I mean, yeah, I guess wait and see how he does in the AHL and hopefully. I mean, I think they've said that they'll bring him back up like later in the year, so you know, he should be back in the NHL.
Scoring line player for sure. So
yeah, so but yeah, very disappointed so far.
All right, to close off the lumps, I got Yuri Hudler from the Red Wings. He's a guy who he took a year off in the NHL to go play in the KHL, where he was playing a point a game. But before that, he was a 57-point player in the NHL for the Wings. So I thought, coming back, he's maybe take a little while to get used to the NHL game, but he should still put up a 50-point season. Yeah, boy, was I and pretty much everybody else out there was wrong, where he's only on pace for 19 points and a minus 26. Pretty hard to get a minus 26 on the Red Wings. But, yeah, so I don't know what to do with this guy either. I think everybody's pretty much lost all faith in him. I still look at him at the waiver wire in a couple of my leagues and think about picking him up, but then you check his stats and you just really can't do it. He's just that bad.
Yeah, it's been bad for Hudler. And the fact that he's not playing at all either, right? Like, I mean, at least before you had the, you know, Detroit had such a deep team and, you know, he's playing maybe second or third line, but yeah, he's been a scratch like a few times recently, and then he gets on the fourth line, plays 10 minutes or something, so it's just...
Yeah. I'm hearing rumors that they're going to be trying to trade him and stuff like that. Well, it's going to be tough with his contract, so yeah, a bit of a mess for Hudler and his owners this year. I know I drafted him in two leagues, and he's no longer on my team, but yeah, it's real surprising. Did not see that coming at all, especially that far of a fall.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, Cam, so we've talked about some gifts and some lumps. Let's finish it off by a few of our biggest fantasy surprises this year. Do you want to go first?
Yes.
All right.
Number one surprise for me, and I have to admit I did not see this coming, and somebody else in the room did, was Andrew Ladd.
Well, it looks like he gets credit. I did not predict Ladd to be going at a point-of-game pace, as he is right. I thought Ladd might have a chance to break out at 50 points, but... yeah, I don't know what's going on with him this year.
I know. So, yeah, I didn't think much of this guy. And actually, my tagline for him before the season was that this guy in the last seven seasons, and this is going back to even junior, he's never had more than – or the only time he's had more than 20 goals or 50 points was his draft year in 2003-04. Ever since then, he's always below 20 goals, always below 50 points. So I was like, yeah, I don't see it happening. I don't see him going over 50 points. So, but yeah, Jay, you called it, or at least you said you thought, you know, he could do something this year, and he's doing it. So
I remember kudos to you. We had a little talk about it, and the point I brought up is that he did pretty well with Chicago last year in a very limited role with very limited power play time, and being a left winger in Atlanta. He's going to be in a really good situation where he's going to be really dependent on. So I was expecting a bit of a rise there. But, you know, like I said, I was kind of hoping for 45, 50 points. Thought that might be a bit of a stretch for him. And he's, you know, really close to getting that already. So, yeah, I'm also surprised by him. But I'm also kind of happy that I'm getting the props from you, too, for once. That's nice.
That's right. Don't expect it ever again.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, let's stick with the Thrashers. For my next one, we got Dustin Byfuglien. I actually predicted Buff to be a big bust this year. I know he's getting talked about in a lot of places, and he got so much hype from the playoffs last year with all those goals he scored on the Blackhawks, playing with Kane and Taves. And I thought, oh, he's going to go to Atlanta, possibly play defense. It's going to be massive, massive bust. And little do we know, not only is he playing at point-of-game pace, on pace for 27 goals, but he's doing it qualifying as a defenseman in pretty much every league. So, you know, I kind of... flabbergasted that he's doing all this. I every sign pointed to him falling apart, and the exact opposite's happened.
Yeah, it's been his season's been unbelievable. Like, I know people that read the website has probably seen, we've talked about it a few times. You know, he's on pace as a defenseman. He's on pace for 319 shots right now, which is like, I went back and did some research, and they're like, you have to go back. I want to say 12 seasons for when a guy had more than 300, a defenseman had more than 300 shots. And then you add to that he's on pace for almost 100 PIMs as well. And he's at a point a game pace, and like
he's not even slowing down. He's got 13 points in his last 10 games. You know, you expect him to start out strong or whatever, but he's not even falling off the pace at all.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't expect him to keep it up all year, but yeah, I mean, his season is unreal right now.
Yeah.
Good one. That's a good one. All right. I got a surprise for you, Jay. So, I'm looking at the stats. I'm looking at the top five save percentages in the league for goalies with more than 10 games. And the top five are Tim Thomas, Andre Pavlich, Carey Price, and Jonathan Quick. And for people that have been following the league, obviously those would be like the top guys you'd think would be in save percentage. Now, who do you think was number five, Jay?
Well, it's Cam Ward, obviously.
How did you know that?
Well, because we talked about it before.
All right, that's fine. Fair enough.
So, yeah, you're right. I had no idea that. And Cam Ward's on one of my teams, too, and I didn't realize he was doing that well.
Yeah, he's at a 925 save percentage as of right now with a pretty decent 252 goals against on Carolina. And he hasn't been racking at me. He's 12-9-3 as the record. So he's not playing on any kind of a powerhouse team. But he's putting up good numbers. And, yeah, I was a little surprised by that. So
he's played quite well recently. He had a really good week this week, helped me out my head-to-head league. And he's been up and down, though. He's had some real stinkers in there, too. But lately, in particular, he's really turned it on. So I hope he keeps it going.
You're back to you.
All right. I got a guy that's a bit of a surprise for me, especially since he's on the Leafs. Kind of makes me hate him a little bit more, too. But Clark MacArthur, he's had a couple of years with the Sabres. I actually drafted him maybe 4 years ago or so, expecting a little bit, because he had some pretty good AHL numbers. And he just consistently put up around 30 points, playing at about a 0.4 points per game pace in Buffalo. I kind of thought that's what he was capable of. Wrote him off as a 30-40 point guy, and then he joins the Leafs, and next thing you know, he's on pace for 61 points. Didn't see that one coming at all. I guess, I don't know if this says a lot about the Leafs, that he's getting so much responsibility, but yeah, he's doing a lot with it, so and helping out fantasy teams for sure, so I'm definitely surprised by MacArthur.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big surprise for me too. And even the line, he's been clicking with Grabowski and Kuhlman lately, which has actually been a pretty decent line. So didn't really expect that. But MacArthur, he had a pretty good history, like going back to junior and then in the AHL. So I guess maybe the surprise is that he couldn't really put it together in Buffalo, and it took him, from going to Buffalo to Atlanta and then being dropped basically for him to be picked off a scrap heap by Toronto for him to actually do something. So yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
Well, I guess we should have listened to Rob too, who just wrote an article, talked about MacArthur and saying how he's 27 years old with some good, good success in junior. So, he apparently saw it coming. So.
He saw it coming, I know. Kudos to him.
You got to listen to that Rob Graymore.
That's right.
All right, your last one, Cam. Let's close it off on a bang. What do you got for me?
Well, I got a surprise statistic here. So, it's for guy Steve Mason that I'm not a huge fan of, really, the goalie from Columbus. He had a good second half in his rookie season that really elevated his stature. But, last year was a pretty brutal year. I mean, Columbus had a bad year all around. But he was pretty awful. And so I wasn't expecting too much from him this year. But the surprise statistic that I have, though, is so he's facing an average of 32.9 shots per 60 minutes right now.
Yep.
And his backup, Matthew Garon, who actually has much better numbers, is only facing 26.6. So he's facing about over six less shots per game than Mason. So I don't know what the issue is there, what Mason needs to do to get the defense to help him out a little bit. But, I thought that that one kind of shocked me a little bit. So.
All right. So for my final one, we got Pavlich again. I know we've already talked about it a little bit, but I guess I just wanted to kind of defend myself a little bit more from where I was coming from. Right now he's got numbers 1.79 and 0.944 with the Thrashers. The guy didn't do this in the AHL. He didn't do this in the Q. He hasn't done anything like this really in his career. So, having him improve a little bit from his numbers last year, yeah, I was kind of thinking that could happen, especially since they're so terrible. But having him improve this much, where he's, on the leaderboards of goalie categories, including in save percentage, which is just insane, and goals against as well, blown me away. I had no idea that was going to happen. I thought Mason would come in, provide a solid goaltender. You know, Pavlik would kind of struggle up and down, and then he ended up spending a lot of time on the bench. And it's gone, again, the exact opposite of what I was expecting. So, yeah, hat tip to you and everybody else who thought Pavlik had it in him.
Yeah, well, I mean, his numbers this year are unreal, but I'm surprised that you didn't see this coming at all. I mean, in the Quebec League, 90 games, his save percentage, his career save percentage was .920. AHL, 92 games, his save percentage is .912. I mean, those are very solid numbers. And then in the AHL, in 07-08, he led Chicago to the Calder Cup. He was the MVP of the Calder Cup. .921 save percentage that year in the playoffs. It's a pretty solid numbers. I mean,
I used to follow him pretty closely for when I used to do a bit of work for RotoWire. And I knew he was a talent. I just didn't think it'd be this year. I thought, you know, next year, maybe the year after. I just thought he was too far away to improve this dramatically.
Yeah, I'll give you that his NHL numbers so far were pretty bad. That it would be pretty impossible to predict that he turned around this much. But based on the track record, I thought eventually this guy was going to be the guy in Atlanta. So
yeah, I guess I was just a year too late.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that concludes the Christmas podcast special from Fantasy Hockey Scouts.
All right. Happy holidays, man.
Yeah, you too, buddy. Same to everybody else who's listening. Happy holidays. Enjoy the World Juniors.
Except for Pierre McCoy. Stick.